Smart Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Dans quelques instants, nous allons entendre une conversation entre Kathy et Max, qui parlent de leur invité, Pat Miller. Who is our guest today? Qui est notre invité aujourd'hui? Guest, invité. Max et Kathy sont des collègues à la radio, ils font des interviews. La première chose que Max va dire quand il commence à travailler, c'est « Hi, what's up? »
« Hi, Kathy, what's up? »
« Salut, quoi de neuf? » Une expression passe-partout, très américaine, qui ne suscite aucune réponse spécifique. Pas du tout ce qu'on dirait lors d'une rencontre formelle, mais tout à fait acceptable entre collègues de longue date. « Hi, what's up? » Une réponse toute simple, « Not much. » Pas grand-chose.
Hi, Kathy. What's up?
Not much.
Who's our guest today?
Today, Pat Miller is back with us.
Autre phrase. She's a college student, isn't she? Elle est étudiante, n'est-ce pas?
She's a college student, isn't she?
College signifie ici université, pas collège. Max est presque sûr que Pat Miller est étudiante, mais il a besoin d'une confirmation, d'où la question à la fin de la phrase, isn't she?
She's a college student, isn't she?
Puisque la question ne demande qu'une confirmation, Kathy va y répondre de cette manière. That's right.
That's right.
C'est juste. C'est correct.
She's a college student, isn't she?
That's right. She goes to American University.
Nous allons aussi parler de l'heure. En anglais, on ajoute le terme « o'clock » qui pourrait se traduire par « à l'horloge ». L'heure se traduit par « hour », à ne pas confondre avec « o'clock ». On dit « 10 o'clock », 10 heures, ce qui n'est pas la même chose que « 10 hours », qui veut dire « une durée de 10 heures ». Écoutez et répétez à haute voix.
Listen and repeat.
1 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
12 o'clock.
Pendant cette interview que vont faire Kathy et Max avec Pat Miller, l'étudiante, nous allons découvrir qu'elle étudie l'art dramatique, qu'elle veut devenir actrice, donc elle se rend au théâtre régulièrement, à Washington et aussi à New York, pour voir des spectacles à Broadway. Broadway shows. Pour y aller, elle prend le train.
Interview.
Now it's time for today's interview. Our guest today is Pat Miller. Hi, Pat. You're a college student.
That's right. I go to American University.
What are you studying?
I'm studying drama.
Do you go to many plays?
Yes, I do. I see a lot of plays here in Washington. And sometimes my friend Sandy and I go to New York to see Broadway shows.
Nous allons donc découvrir les mots utilisés pour les horaires des trains. The train leaves at 6 o'clock. Le train quitte à 6 heures. Les deux verbes à retenir ici, to leave, quitter, to arrive, arriver. It arrives in New York at 11. It est le pronom qui remplace train. Quand vous utilisez des moyens de transport, vous allez utiliser l'expression to go by car, to go by train, to go by plane, by bus. Ici, Pat Miller répond à Kathy et Max en disant we go by train.
We go by train.
Oui, nous. Elle parle d'elle et son amie Sandy. Écoutez la conversation qui suit.
New York? How do you get there?
We go by train. We go and come back the same day.
Really?
Yes, it's not a long trip.
When do the trains leave?
The first train to New York leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's very early.
Yes, it is. We usually take the 7 o'clock train.
When does it arrive in New York?
It arrives in New York at 11. It takes about 4 hours.
Quand on voyage, on a besoin de savoir quelle heure il est. Et si on n'a pas de montre, on peut demander, What time is it? Quelle heure est-il? Écoutez et répétez. What time is it? It is 2 o'clock. En contraction, it's 2 o'clock.
Listen and repeat.
2 o'clock. What time is it? It's 2 o'clock. 2:15. What time is it? It's 2:15. 2:30. What time is it? It's 2:30. 2:45. What time is it? It's 2:45.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Hello, hello. I'm your English host. Je suis votre présentatrice pour l'anglais, Michel Joseph, ici au micro. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais? C'est fait. Retrouvez-moi tous les soirs à partir de 21h, temps universel, sur VOA Afrique et sur notre site internet à www.voaafrique.com. Cliquez sur Apprenez l'anglais pour retrouver les leçons de tous les jours. Et les week-ends sur ondes courtes, le samedi et le dimanche à 20h TU. Pour mieux parler l'anglais, to speak better English, ne ratez pas English USA sur VOA Afrique.
C'est un officier des douanes qui va bientôt à la retraite. Pendant des années, il a vu un homme traverser la frontière à bicyclette, un grand sac derrière lui. Perplexe, il veut percer le mystère du grand sac à l'arrière du vélo. Écoutons leur conversation. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. L'officier des douanes voulait savoir ce que l'homme à la bicyclette cachait dans le gros sac. 2. L'homme à la bicyclette trafiquait les marchandises contenues dans le grand sac. Vous allez ensuite répondre à ces trois questions. 1. Qu'est-ce que l'homme à la bicyclette transportait dans le gros sac? 2. Que trafiquait-il en réalité? 3. Pourquoi les achetait-il à Bantuka? Vous apprendrez enfin comment utiliser en anglais le present perfect.
Stop, old man. Get down off your bicycle.
Hello again, officer.
I have seen you crossing this border for years.
And I've seen you standing at the border, stopping me every time and asking me to get down for years.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bantuka. I have relatives on the other side of the border.
What is in the big bag today?
I bought some presents for my people. Plus some newspapers, some old gloves, old shoes.
Every time I have checked inside the big bag, you carry on your bicycle. Every time, nothing.
And every time, I haven't given you the same answer.
Is that the truth? You're not smuggling anything?
Of course it's the truth. I'm not smuggling anything in my bag.
Come on, old man. I just know you're a smuggler. I'm about to retire. Can you please tell me the whole truth?
You really haven't noticed yet?
No. What have you been smuggling all this time?
Bicycles. They're cheaper in Bantuka. I cross the border with an old bicycle, buy a new one in Bantuka, and ride it back to the big city to sell it there.
Ya Allah, how could I not notice that?
Easy. You only notice the big bag.
Sorry, old man. Now I know your smuggling strategy. Give me the bicycle.
No, I'm sorry, officer. This is my old bicycle.
Vous avez entendu l'officier des douanes et le vieil homme. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. L'officier des douanes voulait savoir ce que l'homme à la bicyclette cachait dans le gros sac. L'énoncé 2 est faux. L'homme à la bicyclette trafiquait les marchandises contenues dans le grand sac. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Qu'est-ce que l'homme à la bicyclette transportait dans le gros sac? Des cadeaux, des journaux, de vieux habits et de vieilles chaussures. 2. Que trafiquait-il en réalité? Des bicyclettes. 3. Pourquoi les achetait-il à Bantuka? Parce qu'elles coûtent moins cher à Bantuka. Écoutez et répétez ces phrases que vous avez entendues dans la conversation.
I have seen you crossing this border for years.
I have seen you standing at the border.
I have checked inside the big bag.
I bought some presents.
Ces phrases sont au present perfect. Elles expriment des actions passées qui ont un lien avec le présent. On forme le present perfect en conjuguant l'auxiliaire to have au présent suivi du participe passé du verbe. Voilà d'autres exemples. He has caught the old man. The villagers have sold bicycles. We haven't heard the music. Vous avez suivi la conversation entre l'officier des douanes et le vieil homme. Vous avez découvert le mystère du grand sac, ou plutôt celui de la bicyclette. Et vous savez utiliser le present perfect, n'est-ce pas? Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Ici Michel Joseph à la Voix de l'Amérique. Au cours de cette leçon, vous apprendrez à demander à quelqu'un d'où il est originaire. Pensez à vos voisins anglophones du Ghana, du Nigeria, de la Sierra Leone, du Cameroun. Pensez au nom de leur pays en anglais et de leur ville. Comment vous demanderiez à quelqu'un leur ville ou leur pays natal? Bien sûr, vous apprendrez aussi à dire à quelqu'un la ville ou le pays que vous habitez. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington, au micro Michel Joseph. Aujourd'hui, Martin Lerner va interviewer Stefan Novak dans un café et lui demander d'où il vient. Quelques mots d'abord pour vous faciliter le travail. A waiter, un garçon de café. What are you going to have? Qu'est-ce que vous voulez? Two coffees, deux cafés. Tell me your name, dites-moi votre nom. Spell it, épelez-le. Where are you from? D'où venez-vous? What country? What city? Quel pays? Quelle ville? I live in Chicago. I live in Baltimore. Sometimes I don't understand. Quelquefois, je ne comprends pas.
Hi, Stefan. Please sit down.
Hello, Mr. Lerner.
Oh, please call me Martin, okay?
Martin. Okay.
Morning. What are you going to have?
Two coffees, please.
That's it? Okay.
What did she say?
She said, what are you going to have? What are you going to have? What are you going to have?
Ah, what are you going to have? Sometimes I do not understand waiters.
Sometimes I don't understand.
Here you are. Two coffees.
Thanks. She said, here you are.
I understand.
Stefan, I'm writing a news report. It's going to be about students in the United States, and I want to write about you.
You are going to write about me? Okay.
First, tell me your full name.
My name is Stefan Novak.
Please spell it for me.
Stefan Nowak.
Where are you from?
I am from Poland.
I know you're from Poland. What city are you from? Warsaw?
No, I'm not from Warsaw. I'm from Krakow. Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago, but I live in Baltimore now.
I lived in Warsaw, too.
Before I lived in Baltimore, I lived in many cities. I lived in Washington, San Francisco, Paris, and Berlin.
That's many places.
Well, I write news stories and reports.
More coffee?
Écoutons une partie de cette conversation.
Where are you from?
I'm from Poland.
What city are you from?
I'm from Krakow. Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Et maintenant, pouvez-vous le dire vous-même? Essayez de répondre à ces questions. Where are you from? What city are you from? Allez-y.
I'm from Chicago. Where are you from?
I'm from Krakow. Where are you from?
On répond aux questions qui commencent avec « where » et qui finissent avec « from » en donnant le nom d'un pays, d'une région, d'un état ou d'une ville.
Where are you from?
I'm from Poland.
Where?
Poland. Where are you from?
I live in Baltimore now, but I'm from Chicago.
I live in Baltimore now too.
Pouvez-vous répondre à ces questions?
I live in Baltimore now. Where do you live?
I live in Baltimore too. Where do you live?
More coffee?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Excuse me, where are you from?
Here.
Where?
Here. I'm from Baltimore. Where are you from?
I live in Baltimore.
I lived in Florida last year. I lived in California. I lived in Texas. I lived in Ohio, New York, Washington.
Quelques révisions. City. Cities. Many cities. Une ville, des villes, beaucoup de villes. A coffee. Un café. Two coffees. Deux cafés. Hospital. Hôpital. Music. Musique. Musician. Musicien.
Office, bureau. Student, étudiant. Tape recorder, magnétophone. University, université. Waiter, waitress. Un serveur, serveuse. Verbe. Live, vivre, habiter. Record, enregistrer. Sit, s'asseoir, sit down, s'asseoir. Spell, spell it, épeler, épelez-le. Study, étudier. Work, travailler. Understand, comprendre. Listen, écouter. Tell, dire. Call, appeler. Pour former le temps passé, ajoutez D ou ED à la plupart des verbes. Par exemple, écoutez bien la différence. I live, j'habite. I lived, j'habitais. I work, je travaille. Avec le passé, I worked, je travaillais. Préposition. From, de. I come from Chicago. Je viens de Chicago. Where are you from? D'où êtes-vous? What city are you from? De quelle ville êtes-vous? Autre phrase avec l'impératif. Call me Martin. Appelez-moi Martin. Tell me your name. Dites-moi votre nom. Let's sit down. Asseyons-nous. Let's listen. Là-bas. Vous avez appris aujourd'hui à dire où vous habitez maintenant et où vous habitiez il y a quelque temps. Ne manquez pas de nous retrouver pour la 8e leçon. Vous apprendrez à donner votre adresse en anglais. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Goodbye. Voulez-vous mieux parler l'anglais?
C'est fait.
Avec Anglais Télé, notre programme interactif télé multimédia.
C'est à votre tour de parler.
It's your turn to talk.
No, it's my turn to talk.
No, it's their turn to talk.
Retrouvez-nous aussi sur notre groupe Facebook Anglais Télé.
Bienvenue. Welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. My name is Michel Joseph and I have a guest with me today.
Je suis Daniel Grafton. Bienvenue, Michel, aussi.
Enchanté. Oui. Welcome. We're happy to have you, Dan.
Merci.
And we are going to look at how words can be changed either by putting a prefix. That means a few words
or
in front.
Or a suffix.
Or a suffix. Words, a few little letters after a
word.
I
learned that when I was in grade school.
Oh, good for you.
Prefix and suffix.
Right, so prefix is a few letters before a word, and suffix is a few letters after a word.
Yeah, right.
And these suffix and prefix add meaning to words, right, Dan?
They do, yes.
And it can change everything.
And they make
everything.
The words move, too.
Oh, move, dynamic.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're about.
You can change a noun into a verb.
Right.
Suffix.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, that's a bit complicated, but...
like run and running.
Oh, yeah. But we're
okay,
going to look at...
We won't do that. No.
We're not doing that one right now.
Okay.
But we're going to look at prefixes that all of you have heard, I'm sure. So the first one we've chosen is anti, anti or anti.
Right.
How do you say that? Anti.
Either one is okay.
Either one is okay, says Dan. I agree with that. I like that.
Okay.
Either one is okay. So,
anti is against or opposite something, right?
Usually against anything.
Against anything and everything. Yeah,
anything you're against, you're anti.
Okay, so hey, are you anti-Michelle?
No.
I hope not.
No, I am.
And you're not anti-English Anglais télé listeners.
No.
Okay.
I'm not anti-French.
I think the opposite is pro, right?
Yeah, pro, right.
Okay, but we'll get to pro. Let's look at anti. So, if you're depressed, what would you take? Something to do the opposite.
An antidepressant.
Antidepressant. If you're having an allergic reaction, we're looking at common ones here, and I'm sneezing and coughing.
Then you're taking antihistamine.
Antihistamine. So I think you guys have heard of those. What about being anti a particular person or a particular policy?
You can be anti-politics, anti-government, right. Anti-party.
Anti-religion.
Anti-presidents, anti-Congress.
Remember people who were anti-Bush? There are a lot of people anti-Obama.
And anti their own president of their own country.
Right. So anti, I think you got it anti, right?
Right.
Right. I'm not anti-Dan. I'm not. Okay. So next one that's fairly common is auto that we see in front of words.
Right.
And that means the self. Auto is reflective. Okay. Mustn't make it not a reflection. Auto. So
it also you can also use it in automatic.
Right.
Which is something that happens without you doing anything.
Right. Okay.
Right?
And how about can I get your autograph?
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
Or I'm driving an automobile, so...
Well, some famous person would give you their autograph.
Oh, well, you're famous, Dan.
You go in the street and
you're famous.
Get the autograph.
At Voice of America, he's famous. Can I have your autograph?
Sure you can. There you go.
Okay, so autograph, automatic...
Automobile.
Basically, it's the self in that process, right?
Right.
Something like that. How about bi? I've heard of that.
Bi means...
It means two.
It means two.
Right.
It also means two ideas.
Two ideas.
Okay.
Two
thoughts.
Activities.
Two thoughts, two ideas, two politics.
Like bipartisan. No. You know, you have the Republicans.
Bipolar,
when your head has kind of...
It's a person who is mean one minute and nice the next minute.
Right, and it's usually due to chemical imbalance.
I'm sure you know people like that. It's not a good thing, but it happens.
And how do you... You know, bicycle. So
right,
that
bicycle.
One we know. Everyone knows bicycle. Bivalve, I think. Does that have to do with the heart?
It has to do with the heart. It also has to do with a fish.
Oh, yes, they
a
have
clam
these
or a clam or an oyster is a bivalve.
Right, they have these valves that open on the side.
Right, on the side, and they let the water in and they let the oxygen out.
So I think we've understood
that's
bi means two.
Right.
And it's happening at the same time.
Right.
Okay, how about con? I have seen that. Con.
Well,
we're conversing, converse.
Right.
Converse. It's... with. Con is with. Actually, in Spanish, con really means with. Avec.
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 In French, it's with.
With you. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So
but you
con,
know, but there's the opposite of con, pro.
Oh, absolutely.
Pro and con. It means you're against
something. For or against.
For or
with
against.
Or not with.
Right.
Actually, people cut it short and just say, I'm pro.
Right.
They just cut everything short.
But you can also, and kind of away from that, you can be a pro as part of professional.
Oh, that's true.
Let's not forget
that. Now, don't confuse the two, guys.
No, they're different.
We're away from that now. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan.
But it's important that they say, hey, I'm a pro, you know?
Right.
I'm the best at what I do.
Right, so for
it
English,
could be. That's why we're explaining it to all you people
out
there.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so on that note, we're going to close this little chapter.
Right.